Tonight, as we were singing, the theme had to do with freedom. What time of year is it in the United States? We just celebrated our independence, which was freedom. Our first scripture is Galatians 5:1 out of the New King James. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you add your anointing to this word. Your word is already anointed, but I ask for your anointing on the ears to hear and on my mouth to speak the counsels of God. And I pray that this word go deep within them and the enemy not have an opportunity to steal the word. In Jesus' name, let it become profitable because they mix it with faith. Amen. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. This is the original sign of a declaration of independence. Being set free, this cross, being set free from the bondage the enemy had us in. It's the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That verse says, there is a possibility you could go back. You could be bound again. But it's your choice to be entangled in it again. How do you get entangled in something? You start stepping in it. You start walking in it. You start meddling in it. You get close to it. How many of you have taken kids in and around a cliff or an overhang? And they go, wow, that sure is a long way down. And mom's freaking out because they're within a hair's breadth of stepping over. Parents are back here. You come on back here. I trust you here. I don't trust you there. It's when you get that close to something, you're going to step in it. So we're told to get away. Other scriptures tell us to flee youthful lusts. In other words, things that would entangle us, we're to run the other way. Not see how close we can get. You take someone, say, tell little kids, don't cross that line. They look at you and they go, boop, stick that toe across there, look to see what you're going to do. Yet it just happens. Kids are like that. And some kids never grow up. They become adults, and they still do that. They find a line, and they stick their toe over it. Okay? Well, we're told not to entangle ourselves in those things. I want to read something that some of you may have never heard before, but this is George Washington's prayer for the United States of America. Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that you will keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States of America at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. He prayed this for this country. Now, in this prayer, he based it in the name of Jesus. He based it in the example of the things that he had done, that Christ had done, how he had set free, the freedom came from him, and the government on his shoulders, and all of the wisdom comes through him. but that we need to have brotherly love, that we need to have obedience and subordination, but the most of all, that we can be freed through his protection, his direction, inclining our hearts to cultivate spirits and grow. He said, basically, God, set us free, keep us free, deliver us, put us on the right path, and then help us to live together in this. Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that what we're supposed to do as believers? How many people in the church like to fight for the simple fact that they want to win? It happens. How many people in the church want to live in their rightness instead of Christ's righteousness? It happens. If we're rooted and grounded in the Word, these things should not be. What was the reason that we fought the revolution in the first place? What was the reason that we needed some kind of a freedom at that time? Well, first of all, did you know that in 1775, the life of citizens in America was better than most of the world, including their brethren who were in England? The life here was better and more prosperous than it was there. They were freer here under British rule than they were back in England. The reason for the revolution was the British had recently fought a costly war with the French Indians, called the French and Indian War. And they had lost a lot of people. And they had lost a lot of ammunition and a lot of war articles. It had cost the crown a lot to fight that war. And so the crown says, guess what we're going to do? We're going to raise taxes on those over there because we can't raise it here. We've already squeezed every penny we can. They seem to be living well, so we're going to raise taxes on the colonies. And we're going to tax them and tax them and tax them and make them pay back all of this that we used to fight this war. And the people said, enough. We are being oppressed. We are being held down. We are being stolen from, and we will not take it any longer. When the church says the same thing to the devil, this church will take off. When the church says, I've had enough, devil, I'm not letting it happen anymore, and you're not oppressing me any longer, I'm going to kick you in the teeth because the word tells me I can. This church will take off. Kathy gave opening scripture tonight, and I showed this to her and Mom earlier. Kathy and I do not talk about what the sermon is going to be. She says, what are you preaching on tonight, the platform? She goes, no. What's your sermon on? It's going to be on the pulpit. It's on paper. And she doesn't like that, but I don't feel like I need to give her what's being taught. Part of it is because even though I've prayed and I've gotten through the scriptures and I pulled out what I think God's saying, there's a difference once I get up here because the Holy Spirit anointing takes over. And there's things that happen up here and are said up here that are never on this paper. So she picked scriptures, and she said she picked one scripture. She was praying, and then God told her a different scripture, and that's the one she picked tonight. All right? Our next scripture is Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. You hear me quote that a lot. I'm not under the law of sin and death anymore. I'm not under the curse of the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from that. That's the verse, Romans 8, 2. I've told the story before about John Lake, the missionary. He's over in Africa. The bubonic plague was going rampant. He was helping carry people that had died, their bodies out, caring for the sick and different things. And finally, the mercy ships showed up. The mercy ships were hospital ships, and so they had doctors and medicines and all kinds of things. And they came in and said, looked at him and said, "You need to get these inoculations." He says, "No, I'm not taking them." "But you've been carrying all these people out in a bubonic plague. That the stuff that's coming out of them is a foam coming out of their mouth, and it's just teeming with this germ." He said, "No, I'm not taking it." He said, "You have to." He said, "Tell you what, you take some of that foam and you look under your microscope and you tell me what you see." And they said, "Yeah, look at this. It's just teeming with this bacteria." He goes, "Put it in my hand." And they did. He said, "Now scrape it off my hand and put it back under your microscope." And they did, and all the bacteria was dead. And he said, they said, "How is it?" He goes, "I'm not under the law of sin and death. I'm under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Even disease has to die when it touches my body." They said, "Okay." He never got sick. Other workers died and got sick because of that. He never got sick. When you understand what Christ did for you and what the Word says you have access to, you're free. Pharmacies will be a place to go get your pack of gum and not your medication because you're free. Doctors are great. There's medication out there. It comes from plants. Doctors give you, don't ever stop your medication. So even when Jesus healed, he would heal and he says, "Now go show yourself to the priest," because only the priest could examine and say, "Yes, you are healed according to the law, the Torah. You are healed." When you get healed of something that you're under medical care for, let the doctors say, "Guess what? I don't need to see you anymore. I don't need to see you anymore. Whatever you're doing, don't tell the rest of my patients or I'll go broke." Okay? They don't want you to tell their patients. Hospitals be empty. They make big money that way. Our next scripture is Romans 6:22. "But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life." If you look at the tenses here, it says, "But now, having been set free." That's a done deal. That's past tense. Having been set free. It doesn't mean in the future you'll be set free. It's having been set free. You are set free. "And having become slaves of God." You're already. Well, what is a slave? Owned? Property? Servant of? One who has been bought? Weren't we bought with a price? We were bought back from the God of this world where we were slaves to sin, but now we're slaves to righteousness. We're not under Satan's control and authority any longer, which is the curse. We're under the righteousness side. We changed houses. We moved from him over to the house of righteousness, where there's freedom, deliverance, prosperity, salvation, healing, love. Amen? So, having been set free from sin, you've been set free from sin? We all, okay? Having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have been purchased with a price and you've said yes to that. See, a slave in the Bible times, if they wanted to remain with their master, they would say, "I want to be your slave forever." They made a commitment. It was a heart attitude. They then showed how they would put a hole through their ear and an earring in it to show that they were purchased possession. But in that, they became slaves, love slaves, bond slaves, family almost, by choice. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to this. I want to be part of your family forever. Then it goes on to say, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. We're all looking for everlasting life. We're all headed that way. We all have already received it. It's just when we're still living here, it just doesn't feel like everlasting life sometimes. But we already have it. But we have the fruit to holiness. Are you walking holy? God says, I'm holy. Be holy as I'm holy. Walk towards holiness. I saw Dr. Allison posted on Twitter, righteousness is God's gift to you. Holiness is your gift back to God. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to walk in holiness. But right here it says that you have your fruit to holiness. Are you bearing fruit to holiness? Amen. Galatians 5 says, if you, brethren, have been called to liberty, we already know that we've been set free by liberty in Galatians 5:1. If you've been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as your opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. There is accountability. When you ask Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior, you need to understand that this flesh is going to try and get in the way. And we don't take and make that something that we just put forward. We don't build up the flesh. We tell the flesh to get in line. We build up the spirit. We build up our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our intellect, with the washing of the water of the word. You get your spirit in line with God by getting saved, reading the word, and getting built up. You get your soul in line with the word and going the right direction, thinking the right way. The body's going to follow. It's the caboose. But here, many people got that backwards. They were following fleshly lusts and walking away from the liberty that they'd been given. Romans 6:18 says, and having been set free from sin, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You've been set free from sin? Guess what? Righteousness is yours. You're a bondservant. You're a family member for life to righteousness. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Free from what? Anything that oppresses the body, anything that oppresses the mind, the soul, the will, the intellect. You ever feel like, it's just too tough for me? Yeah, it is. But you know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Where do you find the truth? In His Word. His Word is truth. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
And fear, the acronym, can be false evidence appearing real. He hasn't given us that. It's not a lie. But He's given us power and love and a sound mind. So if the truth sets you free, which is the opposite of fear, truth, if truth sets you free, you have power. Enemy comes in like a flood, you crawl out to God. He has to roll back. God says He's the one that puts up the standard, and the enemy has to roll back. He doesn't say you have to fight a thing. The only fight we're told to fight in this Word of God is to fight the good fight of faith. I'm standing on the Word. God says He'll take care of it. He'll do it. I'm not budging from the Word. Adam and Eve budged from the Word. Look what mess they got us in. But you'll have power and love. We talked about that the other day. How strong is your love for all the saints? How strong is your love for those who don't walk and talk and act like us? And a sound mind. There's a song Patsy Cline used to sing all the time, Crazy. We don't need crazy Christians. because God says he gives us a sound mind. A sound mind. Amen? This is a scripture you can hold on to. You ever feel like things are just getting too much? You say, God, you've not given me a spirit of fear. The enemy's given me that. But you've given me power, you've given me love, you've given me a sound mind. So this all's coming from the enemy. I'm taking authority over that. I've been set free. The truth set me free. And Jesus is truth. Psalm 107, starting with verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and have cut the bars of iron in two. What this is saying is those things that used to bind you, they're not just shackles dropped away and set aside that you could get shackled again with. He broke them to pieces so they could never be used again to shackle you. He set you so free that the shackles won't fit anymore. They won't hold anyone. They're like gravel rubble, all smashed up. And then the prison bars that kept you held up in fear and all of the bondage and anything that would come against you, he broke the gates and he cut the bars so that it can't hold anyone ever again. When he set us free forever. When the enemy comes in and tells you, yeah, but you used to be this way or you used to be that way. Thank God you're preaching the truth because I used to be. I used to be, I'm not anymore. And amen. You're testifying to the power of the blood of Jesus. And you know the devil's going to run because he doesn't want to talk about that anyway. See, the devil's not going to tell you what you can be. He's not going to tell you how you can be set free. He's going to make you start doubting. What's the biggest failure of a faith prayer? Is doubting. If you start doubting, what you're asking for says you won't get it. So all he has to do is say, are you sure about that? Are you sure God said that? Surely God didn't say that. He only said this. If you're in the Word and you know the Word and you're praying the Word back to God, when he says something that doesn't sound right, you're going to say, wait a second, the Word says this. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And he will what? Flee. He runs the other way. You don't have to run. You're told with the armor of God, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And you see that therefore, having done all to stand, stand. Having all to stand, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. It doesn't tell you to run. It doesn't tell you to leap on the wall. It tells you to stand in the armor of God. And it tells you that the word of God is the sword. So, if you've got the sword and you're trained in using the sword, the enemy comes in, it will be effective. How many times did Jesus run in the desert when he was being tempted? He scurry all over the place because here he's in the body and the image of a man and he's not in his finery and the devil's talking to him. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? That's the devil. I know what he can do. He said, it's written. It's written. Go do this. No, it's written. See, Jesus in the body of a man, the same body that you have and I have, stood up to him face to face, not a demon, not an imp, not one of the little bitty guys sent to torment you, but Satan himself, Lucifer, and just said, it is written. Jesus didn't even break out a sweat. Didn't even raise his voice. It's written. And what did the devil do? He got tired of the answers that he left. He left him alone for months. If you go look at the scriptures, how long it was before he came back to try to do something. He left him alone for a while. You want some peace and quiet? Get in the Word, get the Word in you, and then speak the Word. The enemy will run. He'll say, I'm not going to that house. Last time I came there, I got a couple teeth broken out. They showed me the door. And even that is scripture, because Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. So when you have the need for freedom, understand that Christ already gave it to you. When you can't stand it, it's too much for you, cry out to Jesus. When the enemy's coming at you, just say, hey, wait a second. That's the wrong message. That's the wrong gospel. My gospel tells me this, that I've been set free, that I am not given the spirit of fear, that the power and love and a sound mind are mine now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now. Just like George Washington prayed for deliverance for all the people. And those people weren't all together of one mind in these colonies. They all had their own little agendas. Sounds like the church today, doesn't it? Sounds like all the different churches around, they've all got their agendas. But he prayed for the unity, for the ability to come together. And he did it in the name of Jesus and in the example of Christ. Christ performed the greatest freedom miracle by going to the cross. He didn't have to. He didn't sin. He could have said, we're holy and they're not. We said we would never destroy the earth with the flood, so let's destroy it with fire and let's start over. But he said, no, Father, your righteousness is at stake. Your word is at stake. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to redeem back those who will come back so they can be with us and they can see the glory that I had with you from before the beginning, that they can be with us as I'm with you forever. He said, I love them enough and I love you enough that I won't let your name be besmirched. I'll go and I'll be the sacrifice. Amen. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. It's for freedom. If you don't have freedom, you've been listening to the wrong gospel, because the enemy does not want you free. And guess what? Just because you don't feel freedom doesn't mean you don't have it. It's just you're listening to the wrong gospel. And there are many out there in the world that, well, I hope one of these days Jesus is going to come back, or if I die, I go to heaven, and I'll know right after I die whether I made it or not. That's not freedom. They might as well go to the boats because they got a better chance of winning there than they do there. But see, Jesus said, if you believe in your heart, Paul said in Romans, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's belief. That's, hey, I believe that. I have come to that realization that that's a true fact. And you confess Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. That's saying yes to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the word. I thank you for freedom tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight we're reminded that you set us free through the work of Jesus Christ. And being set free, we don't have to listen to all of the garbage the devil tries to bring our way. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray this word go deep and that people are able to take this nugget and let it grow within them so that we all come to the maturity that you're asking us to grow to. Let us grow deeper in holiness, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
If you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to give you the opportunity right now. If you go into Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then say, I want Jesus to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I want his free gift of salvation. Pray with me now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that in my heart, and I now ask Jesus to come into my heart as Lord and Savior, forgiving me of all my sins, washing me, making me free, and I'm forever yours. In Jesus' name. If you did that right now, I'd like to ask you to contact us. Our contact is, you can contact us at prayer@fgfellowship.org, and we'll be happy to get back with you. We want to pray with you, and we want to be a partner with you. Contact us and let us be a partner with you. In Jesus' name, go with God.